Our reading this morning is from Philippians chapter 2, and we're reading verses 1 to 11. So if you want to get a Bible, or if you've got the Bible on your phone or whatever, let's turn to Philippians chapter 2, and this very well-known passage, verses 1 to 11. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen, and may God bless this reading of his word to our hearts today. So we're continuing our series on Philippians, on discovering joy, and today we're going to be looking at discovering joy through humility. Maybe like myself, you have noticed recently that there's been a lot of articles on how to be happy through lockdown. Whether it's social media posts or articles in newspapers or magazines, we're all interested and concerned about our emotional and mental and physical well-being. And so you're reading articles like 5 Tips to Healthiness and Happiness Through Lockdown. I was reading an article which gave us 50 free things to do during this coronavirus. And only one of them actually mentioned something to do with other people in terms of volunteering, looking outside of ourselves. And yet many studies have shown that actually helping others, serving others, is one of the chief ways to happiness and to healthiness. And yet in a lot of these articles that I've read, very few of them seem to emphasize other people, or serving other people, or volunteering, or helping. And yet an act of selflessness leads to happiness, dare I say it, even to joy. Thinking of others has the effect not only of blessing them, but blessing you yourself. We live at a time in our culture when the word self is very much promoted. We are, in some ways, a very selfish society. We talk about taking selfies, and we have our selfie sticks. We are encouraged to self-actualization, to reach our fullest potential. We're urged to self-promote, even to self-identify. And of course, we have to take care of ourselves. I remember many years ago, in my last year of training as a lawyer, and one of the lecturers used to always say, keep yourself right. In other words, make sure you don't get yourself into a position where you can be blamed, where you take responsibility for something going wrong. Keep yourself right. It doesn't really matter about anybody else around you. And that's kind of the attitude that we find in our culture very much. Governments sometimes consult interest groups as they are forming policy. But of course, they tend to be self-interest groups because they're interested and concerned that their demands, their rights, and their concerns are heard above others. We've been looking at Philippians, which is written by a man in prison, in lockdown. A man who you would think would be very self-centered and self-concerned about the situation in which he finds himself. What tips would Paul give if we were to ask him about being happy or even how to discover joy? Well, he would not completely disdain the notion that you have to look after yourself and your mental and physical well-being. He knew as well as we do that that's important. But what we find, just like in the words of Jesus and in the Bible as a whole, Paul promotes a philosophy and a culture of life which is countercultural. While it recognizes we have to look after ourselves, it places a much higher importance on looking after others and serving others. And so as we read in Philippians chapter 2, I wonder, did you notice the balance of verse 4? Paul says, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. There's a balance here, which in general, it is very easy to lose. A great desire of Paul's was that the Philippian church would be a united church. Verse 2 says, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, and being one in spirit and in purpose. There was actually a bit of disunity in the fellowship in Philippi, and we will hear about this later in the series. So this was a concern of Paul, that they would be united, one in spirit and in purpose. And the key to this unity, he says in verse 3, is to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. What is the way to harmony? What is the way to joy? What is the way to unity in the fellowship? It is to be humble and to consider others and their interests and their concerns and their needs. Don't just look out for yourself. Now, can you imagine articles in newspapers or posts on social media looking at 7 tips to healthy and happy living? And the number one tip is look out for others. Now, sometimes these articles do mention volunteering and helping others and serving others and so on, but they tend to be fairly well down the list. But if Paul was here, he would be saying, don't just be interested in yourself. Make sure you're looking out for the interests of others. Now, to an extent, this has been happening in the past year as we've been dealing with this pandemic and this coronavirus. We have seen the worst, but we've also seen the best of humanity. We have seen people actually looking out for others, caring for others. We've been encouraged to save the NHS, to look after those who are looking after us. We've been encouraged to make sure that we have the resources and that the nation and indeed the world has the resources to cope with this pandemic. We're encouraged to socially distance. We're encouraged to wear masks. Now, that's a bit about self-protection, but it's actually mainly about looking after someone else, making sure that if you do have the virus, if you do have the infection, that you're not giving it to someone else, that you're not spreading it. So actually, over this past year, we have been learning a lot about looking after each other and looking out for the other person. And this is why people get especially angry and sad whenever they see people going into supermarkets and not being concerned about others, maybe not wearing masks, not socially distancing. So there's been good things that's come out of this past year. We have been encouraged to look after the most vulnerable. And as the vaccinations are being rolled out, of course, who gets the first vaccinations? Well, we feel it's the most vulnerable, the elderly, those in care homes, those who are serving them, the nursing staff, and so on. So these, in a sense, are Christian principles being outworked, serving others, caring for others, making sure that others are being looked after. It, of course, needs to continue on a worldwide basis. And it's going to be interesting to see how the richer nations deal with the poorer nations and the developing nations. Will they share the vaccines with those who are poorer and even more vulnerable? You see, self-interest can creep in so easily to us as individuals, but even to nations. But we as Christians should be leading the way in selflessness over selfishness. Because Paul would say the way of humility is the way to discover joy. We discover joy as we look out for others. Jesus is described in the New Testament as being gentle and humble in heart. In his letters, Paul doesn't go on and on about himself, even though he's in awful conditions. No, he's more concerned about the other churches. Andrew Murray said that the humble person is not the one who thinks meanly of himself. He's not thinking about himself at all. In one of the best known parts of the New Testament, Paul here in Philippians 2 encourages us to have the same mind, the same attitude as that of Jesus Christ. In verses 6 to 11, we have what many would view as a kind of an early Christian hymn. Now, there's no firm evidence that it was an early Christian hymn, but it is written in a very poetic style, so it is possible. But its poetry emphasizes the wonder of Jesus. And Paul is encouraging us to have the same mind, to have the same attitude, to have the same humility as our Savior. Jesus is God. In John chapter 1, we are reminded, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And yet God steps down in humility. Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God the Father, they're having this great conversation way back in time. How shall we save mankind? And Jesus steps forward and says, I will go. I will step down. Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, something to be held on to. He was willing to let it go. And he willingly steps forward to save us. We see in this three huge sacrifices that Jesus made. He sacrifices his natural status, his social status, and his legal status. First of all, Jesus sacrifices his natural status. He is God. And yet, he doesn't hold on to that truth. He doesn't hold on to that. He lets it go. He's willing to step down and down and down. He is, in nature, very God. Begotten, not made, as one of the carols goes. And yet he divests himself of that glory, of his natural glory, and he steps down to us. So he sacrifices his natural status of being God. He sacrifices, secondly, his social status of divinity. He is King of Kings, he is Lord of Lords, and he humbly steps down to become an ordinary human being, like you and me. He's born as a baby and placed in a manger. What a lowly birth. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords becomes a servant, indeed a slave. And then thirdly, he sacrifices his legal status of being holy, pure, innocent, to take on our sin upon his shoulders, to identify, to get down into the dirt and the dust, the mess of life. He was willing to do that for you and for me. He took upon himself the sins of the world. He took our condemnation. He took our punishment. He took our penalty. He took our place. Legally, he was innocent, but he surrendered this to become sin for you and for me. And he did this by going on to the most cruel instrument of death devised by mankind. Death on a cross. So here we see the ultimate in humility. He sacrificed his natural status, his social status, and his legal status for our salvation. He thought of others and not himself. God became man. The King became a servant. The innocent became treated like a criminal. The sinless became sin for you and for me. What a Savior. What a Savior. And so Paul here is saying our attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who considered others before he considered himself. As we reflect on this passage today, how do we apply that to our hearts? Well, this week, perhaps, God may lay upon your heart someone who you could maybe phone to say, how are you doing? Just to give them a word of encouragement, to let them know that you're thinking of them. Maybe you could buy someone some flowers and leave them on the doorstep, just as a wee encouragement that they're being thought about. Maybe you could do an errand for someone who's vulnerable and stuck in the house. It's about being thoughtful and thinking of others. Maybe it's about picking up a few extra tins at the supermarket and then leaving those in on a Saturday morning for Bob's store to be distributed to those who are poor in our society. These are simple ways in which we show interest for others. As this lockdown continues, we can be tempted to turn in on ourselves in self-pity. Goodness me, there's been days I felt so low, and many of you have as well, as the horizon keeps being pushed on, and it's difficult, it's a difficult time. But let's look up, let's look out. Let's not be consumed by self, because actually the road to happiness and the road to joy, Paul would say, is considering others. I think it was Martin Luther who defined sin as a curving in on ourselves. And during this time, it's been so easy, hasn't it, to be curved in on ourselves, on our own gloom, on our own misery, on our own limitations. And yet Paul, who was in a prison, chained to a soldier, he was able to speak about joy and about serving others. So as we look up and as we look out for others, we will actually do our own souls good. And then in verses 9 to 11, Paul, as he continues to think about the humility of Jesus, ends this little passage in a strange way, because he then begins to talk about the exaltation of Jesus and how Jesus is lifted up and ascended. Was Paul just getting carried away, or is there a clue here as to how we find that as we are humbling ourselves, that God will also exalt us, that God will also lead us into happiness and even joy? You see, there is a biblical principle here, that the humble will be exalted. In Luke chapter 14 and verse 11, Jesus says, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted." Peter in 1 Peter 5 and 5 says this, "Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." So this biblical principle is that where there is people exalting themselves, God will humble them. But when we are humbling ourselves before God, he actually will exalt us. In humility, there is harmony and unity, and it will actually long-term benefit us personally. Alec Natier says this, "The ascension of Jesus is the divine response, not to this or that aspect of the career of Jesus, but to the sort of person Jesus is, the way he looks at things, the values he cherishes, his mind. Jesus showed love to the uttermost, and the Father loves to see this. It is a principle of God that he who humbles himself shall be exalted." That which happened to Jesus, if we follow his pattern, will happen to us. If we deny ourselves and humble ourselves and look out for the interests of others, we actually will find that it is in our own best interests we will be exalted as Jesus was exalted. It is ironic that that which is in our own best interest, our eternal salvation, is so often what we miss. We miss that the way to look out for ourselves, to save ourselves, is by putting Jesus first. When we die to self, when we put Jesus on the throne of our lives, we will live. This is one of the great paradoxes of life and of the gospel. If we exalt ourselves and say, I don't need to be saved, well, then we won't be. But if we see our need to be saved, if we throw ourselves upon the mercy and the grace of Jesus, he will lift us up and he will give us joy. The key to blessing is looking outside of ourselves, looking to a cross outside the walls of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. So there is a personal humility required to say Jesus is Lord. The word Lord is a word which simply means boss. Saying Jesus is Lord means saying, Jesus, you're boss. You're in control. When we humble ourselves, when we see that we cannot save ourselves, that we need Jesus, the Jesus who stepped down, down, down into our world, the Jesus who went to a cross, when we submit our lives, when we surrender our lives to this Jesus, he will one day exalt us to be with him in heaven, to enjoy life with him. Jesus himself, when he went through the most difficult part of life, when he was going to that cross, it says in Hebrews 12 and 2, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the hardest task of all, going to that cross. But he knew there was joyful reward to come. As we put others first, it will bring joy into our hearts now. As we put Jesus first, it will bring joy into our hearts now, but it will also bring joy hereafter as we look forward to the joy of being with him in a new heaven and new earth. So as we close today, we're reminded in verses 10 and 11 that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Will you bow your knee? Will you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord today? Because that is the way to humility, to happiness, to joy, and even the joy of eternity. The whole world will one day acknowledge and see that Jesus is Lord. Why not start today by confessing the lordship of Jesus, that he's boss. The Lord is my shepherd. The boss is my shepherd, my guide, my leader. This is the road to humility, but it is also how we discover joy in putting others first, but especially in putting Jesus first. Will you do that today? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts. Forgive us when we have become consumed by ourselves, our own hurts, our own worries and frustrations. And we ask, O God, that we would look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Help us to entrust our lives, as Paul did, to this same Lord Jesus Christ. And then may the mind of Christ and the eyes of Christ be ours, to see the need around us and to help to meet that need in Jesus' name and to discover joy. In your name we pray. Amen.